May the words of my mouth and the inspiration of all our hearts be always acceptable in you, O Lord, who is our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Unless we have lived the life of a hermit this week, where we've not engaged with television, newspapers, social media, and the rest, we will know that in recent European political history, it's an understatement to say that it's been a tumultuous week. Far beyond the Leave campaign saw the result on Friday of the UK referendum coming. In fact, one stage, and this was reflected in the early print editions of the English papers, the Leave campaign had actually conceded defeat. The Remain in Europe was going to be overwhelmingly carried in the UK. But as you know, in the middle of Thursday night, Friday morning, the final result was declared, and the Leave campaigners had to do a huge U-turn. The result was in. The referendum was quite clear that the people of the United Kingdom, with Scotland, Wales and Northern Ireland, in the majority, had voted to leave. Then, of course, just after 8 a.m. on Friday morning, the British Prime Minister David Cameron had really no option but to resign. It was a humiliating defeat for him. Time will tell, of course, if the UK have made a wise decision or not. Will there be an economic betterment for the people there as an independent sovereign nation? Or will they suffer, as many of the political commentators refer to, as unintended consequences? The things that you can't see when you walk away from something. The unseen things. It will also be interesting from our perspective to see how Scotland and Northern Ireland, who voted to remain in Europe, will react. And of course, many in the Republic of Ireland will be anxious to see how trade develops, or will it suffer in the years ahead? Our biggest trade partners are with our nearest neighbours in the UK. It's been an interesting week. The overall question to be answered is, will the UK be better off separate rather than remaining of something bigger than itself? And that's the kind of thoughts that I want to bring into our reading for today. That sense of separate or together being better. That sense of being part of something bigger than ourselves, being better than operating individually. Individually as folk who make up the church, individually as a church that is part of a group of parishes. Are we better when we work singly, or are we better when we work together, all together, four churches serving one God? And before we come to the passage, we are reminded that we're looking through the one another passages in the New Testament. We've looked at three one another passages to date, and they set out a template for how the people of God, for how the body of Christ, for how the church are to come together and to form a church community. So far, we've looked at the importance of loving one another. We've looked at the importance of encouraging one another, and then the challenging importance of forgiving one another. And each of these, and the ones to come, encourage unity and fellowship and harmony within the body of Christ, the church. So as we come to today's reading, as always, can I encourage all of us to follow along in the weekly sheet or in the Pew Bible. Always encouraging to see people pick up and to follow along. Again, just a little bit of background to give us a sense of the context of the passage. The reading, as you will see, comes from another of the Apostle Paul's letters. He writes various letters that make up most of the second half of the New Testament to various churches and to various church leaders. This time he's writing to a church of believers in Rome. And unlike some of his other letters, as we saw last week, as Paul writes to the believers in Colossae, the book of Colossians, Paul isn't writing a letter in this instance to meet some special problem or need of the church. He's not even writing, as we've seen in previous epistles, to combat some false church teaching. He simply wants to write to ground the believers in Rome into the very essentials of what it is to be considered a living faith, a living church community. Doctrinally, the book of Romans is one of the most significant, for it underlines and teaches much of what is at the heart of the Christian faith. And hence, we find some advice for Paul to this community in a practical sense, building on those doctrinal truths in Romans 12. And as we come to the passage, we find that it is rooted in practical advice, as well as speaking into the culture of the church. And we will see, as perhaps you've already picked out, that it might be described as a super or a mega one another passage. There are three one another suggestions to look at, and they help answer the question in a church sense of, are we better separate or together? And as we come to the passage, good questions that I want us to have in mind is, do they describe us as a parish and a group of parishes? Do they describe us as a diocese? Do they describe the churches in this community, in this land, and so on? And how might they challenge us to be a better church community? And as we come to the passage again, let me just paint some mind pictures to have in place. Our faith is described as something that's personal and corporate. When it comes to faith, there is that moment of personal response. That moment when we say yes to Jesus or not. That moment when we realize our need of God in a personal sense. That moment when we take that step to allow God's grace and mercy and forgiveness to be real in our lives. That's a personal thing we all must respond to in our own lives. But as we respond to that question of whether we want to follow Jesus or not, when we say yes, we become part of something bigger than ourselves. When we choose by faith to be a follower of Jesus, we become, in the truest sense, and the Bible gives us this description, of being children of God, of being a child of God. And then in the wider sense, the Bible teaches that we become part of God's family, the body of Christ. So the personal response and that sense of being part of something bigger than ourselves, God's family, the body of Christ. And then the Bible describes that new relationship that we have with each other, that new deeper relationship as being brothers and sisters in Christ. So children of our Heavenly Father by faith, and brothers and sisters in Christ. And it's this relationship that Paul speaks into. The first one another comes in verse 10. I've highlighted it on the weekly sheet. And Paul writes, be devoted to one another in love. As brothers and sisters in Christ, as God's family, be devoted to one another in love. Again, admitting I'm not a Greek scholar, but the original words are calling for Christians, members of God's family, to have tender affection towards each other in love, to show a sense of loyalty and devotion to each other in love. Then the second of today's one another commands also comes in verse 10, when Paul writes that we are to honour one another above ourselves. Again, trying to get a sense of the original Greek, honour means to put value to something. So honouring one another means that each person is equally valued and equally important as part of God's family, the body of Christ. In God's family, no one is greater than another. No one is greater than another. And then the third and last one another comes in verse 16. Live in harmony with one another. And this for me reflects something of last week's one another when we read in Colossians that we are to bear with one another. It recognizes that the church then and now is made up of all sorts of different people. And where you get all sorts of different people, as I said last week, you get all sorts of different views, different opinions, different needs, different wants, and different challenges, potentially conflict. So Paul again is saying, as a church, recognize there are differences, but also that all are part of God's family. And as a family, we are to give each other leeway, space, extra tolerance, so that we can live in harmony with each other. And as we pick up the in-between bits of those three one another passages, we see Paul encourage the practical application of the one another passages. And again, I've said that so often, that while we learn from God's word, while we are instructed from the Bible, it is also important that we take it in a meaningful way and we apply what we learn and read into our everyday lives, into our personal journey of faith and into our corporate journey of faith as a church. And Paul is very good in this passage at encouraging the outworking of the three one another passages that he has laid before this church in Rome. Did you notice what the outworkings were? Follow along quickly with me in that passage. Paul says, show joy and patience in our relationships. Pray for each other, share with each other, and especially share with those in need. Practice hospitality between each other. Bless those who persecute you. Rejoice together, mourn together, treat each other as equal. That sense of, in a real way, journeying together as the people of God. And all of these verses for me speak into the creation of a warm and a caring and a genuine community. I wonder, as I've said a few moments ago, are we doing that? Does that describe us as a church? Are we a warm and caring and genuine community living out these one another commands? And how can we do that more and more and more in this church and in this group of parishes? Summing up this passage for me, it reminds us that as individuals, we are called by faith individually to be part of something bigger than ourselves, which is better than what we are as individuals. We are called to be part of God's family and God's community, which is better than being individuals. And as part of God's family, we are called equally under God, which is better than being individuals. And at the very heart of God's family, there is a commitment. There is a commitment that is bigger than ourselves. It is our glue, it is our focus, it is our motivation, which differentiates us from all other types of community and societies. It is a commitment which is better, and that is our commitment above self, to worship God, to love God, and to serve God. One Lord, which is always why we sing and can sing in a few moments, that we are bound together by God's love as God's family. We are bound together with cords that cannot be broken. We are bound together where there is one God, there is one King, there is one body. We are bound together as God's family, as brothers and sisters in Christ by faith. We are purchased by the precious blood of Jesus. We are born with the rights to be free as God's family, together as the body of Christ, that we proclaim that Jesus has won a victory over life and death. And as part of God's family, we have divine promises to draw from. We are God's chosen desire. We are God's glorious new wine. So this week, the UK made a decision whether they were in or out, whether they wanted to remain or leave. This passage reminds us that all of us have a similar decisions to make. Are we in or out? Are we part of God's family, saved by faith, or are we journeying individually without hope? It reminds us that as God's family, that God is the one that we submit to, God is the one that is sovereign, that we lay aside as brothers and sisters in Christ our own sense of being individuals as we join together corporately as part of God's family, the body of Christ. And I wonder, as we think about what it is to be part of God's family, are we living out those one another commands to be devoted to one another, to honour one another, and to live in harmony with one another? And we add those three words alongside the other growing list that we've seen in the weeks leading up to today, where we are committed to love one another, encourage one another, and forgive one another. I wonder, as I've said, and I leave that with us, are these marks and characteristics of this church and this group of parishes? Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, as we gather in this place today, we are part of something bigger than the individual lives that we bring. We are part of this parish. We are part of this group of parishes. We are part of this diocese. But we are part of something even bigger than that, something more precious than that. And that is, by faith, we are part of God's family. By faith, we are God's children. By faith, we are part of the body of Christ, which stretches around the world, that body of believers. We are part of God's family, where we call each other brothers and sisters in Christ. May that, on an individual level, be meaningful to each of us today. And as we seek to build your kingdom, as we seek to reflect your values, may we add devotion, honour, and harmony in all that we are about. Bind us together, Lord. Bind us together. And I pray all of this made possible through the precious name of Jesus. Amen.